Thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence that's already here. We thank you for how you're moving in us and through us. Mm-hmm. And we just bless Matthew right now. We bless him in Jesus' name. Lord, would you give him your thoughts, your words? Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts to receive whatever you have to give. Thank you, Lord. You are generous and you give such great gifts. Yeah. So Holy Spirit, come and fill Matthew, fill this place, fill our hearts. And we just ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to be released in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right, who stayed in their PJs this morning? Anybody? I really wanted to stay in my PJs when it was raining outside, but I love coming to church too. Don't get me wrong. But you know, some Sundays, congratulations, you got out of your PJs and you got here. Thanks for doing that. Happy Thanksgiving weekend, and everybody's coming out of their turkey coma, I guess. So far, you guys are looking bright and chipper, so you're not going to fall asleep on me. I want to read you the greeting that I sent you on Thanksgiving Day that Sarah goes, "What did you do to that email?" You butchered that thing. Like, somehow when I cut and pasted from my Bible app, it just, here's it. Here it is. Dear River Life Chapel Hill family. It's real short. Ephesians 1:16-18. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what I'm asking God to do this morning, that the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Who wants that? I pray that the eyes of all of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know hope. Who needs hope this morning? In order that we may not know just hope, but the hope, that we might know the hope, I lost my place, to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving. Sarah and I are so blessed and thankful for all of God's many blessings in our lives this year. One thing we are especially thankful for is you. You guys watching online or listening to the recording, everybody a part of River Life Chapel Hill, our beautiful church family. And like the Apostle Paul's letter that I read from above, we pray that he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation this Thanksgiving in order that you may know him better and your inheritance as a son or daughter of the Father. Matthew and Sarah, all right, you got the email. There you go. But we just pray that the Holy Spirit would come and enlighten our hearts, that we may know. And I feel like in this season, and this is week 3 on abiding, okay? Who would love to just abide in Christ? Just abide in him. John 15, that's where we've been feasting at the table of his love, is just abiding in him. And this morning, I started this last week, is abiding not just in him, but abiding in prayer. And I feel like God wants to renew our vision for prayer. Now, when I say renew, I don't mean to imply that we've lost it. I'm not speaking for you. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But perhaps you have a huge vision for prayer. Okay, well, who wants more?
Yeah.
Because by prayer, sometimes I've always had a vision for prayer, but I'm going to be honest with you, as a Christian, even as a pastor, I haven't always loved it. I'm just being honest. And I think as I look back, because I love prayer now, I do love it now. That's the good news, right? But as I look back on it, it was because I had attached these religious ideals to it. And my father so graciously had to pull those things off. He had to peel those away, and then I love it again. Isn't that interesting how that works? This can happen on many, many dynamics in the Christian life. Bible reading. I remember right after I got saved, I was 19, and this wise missionary was in town in Greensboro where I lived at the time. And he said, he gave me this discipleship advice. He said, Matthew, for every Christian, you're going to go through seasons in reading the Bible where it's just going to seem dry at certain times. He's like, when that happens, just don't be afraid. Put it down for a little bit. Put it down and grab a biography of one of the great men and women of faith. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. I mean, at that time, it wasn't dry to me because I was newly saved. It was awesome. But I don't remember how many years later. I do remember opening it and just going through this, like, gosh, I'm just like, you know. And so I took that advice, and I grabbed the biography, the autobiography of William Carey. And I'll never forget, or no, I think it was Adoniram Judson. It was one of those guys in South Asia. And I was just reading this biography. It wasn't a biography out of the scripture, but it just made it come alive. I just came alive. And then a short time later, I picked the Bible up again. My point is this, whether it's prayer or reading the scripture or many different, or sharing your faith, how many people have ever had a spirit of religion be put on you for evangelism? Do you love God? Well, you must share your faith. You know, it sounds something like that. Yeah, I love God, but I don't mean to be disrespectful to that perspective other than to say God wants to take that off of our prayer lives. There's a brand new conversation that he's having. Has anybody think about what is the best conversation you've ever had with someone? Does anything come to mind? I mean, you just had, or maybe somebody had this around on Thanksgiving. Did you just have a really great conversation with somebody? Don't think of the worst conversation you ever had. No, it's the best conversation. I know what mine is. 1999, I had just about 2 months started dating this lovely lady on the front row here with the world-class voice. Isn't she amazing? Just see, I was like, when you walk into the room, I'm like, girl, when you walk into the room, I'm not trying to be carnal here, but anyway, we had just, God, that got awkward. All of my kids are crawling under the chair. But no, when we hadn't been dating for too long, and I'll never forget, we got on the phone one night. Old cordless phone landline. Anybody remember those? I'm aging myself. This is the late 90s. I did have a cell phone, but we're on the cordless phone. And we start talking one evening. And the next thing I know, the sun's about to come up. We literally stayed on the phone all night long. I'm thinking, who does that? Obviously, it was the greatest conversation that I've ever had. Not because I remember, forgive me, honey, but I don't remember all the details of what we talked about. I don't remember what the details of the conversation were, but I knew that both of us were fully present in the conversation. Our hearts were drawing closer and closer together to be knit together in that love that God was so graciously given us. And I just realized that this is what God wants to do for you and for all of us in this season of prayer is deep connection, life union, intimate communication. This is what God wants to do. Now, for us guys, I'm a guy, so I'm just going to only speak for us. Sometimes communication can be hard, right, men? Like some of us are more reserved, a little more quiet, or you come home from work and all of your words have been used up. And you just, your wife's like, how was your day? You know, good, that good, huh? Well, tell me about it. Yeah, it was good. Well, what'd they say? You know, stuff. You know, it's not exactly the definition of deep communication. And that's a thing, and that's okay, and we grow, and our lives get beyond that, hopefully, and our marriages grow, and we come to understand one another. But from that, sometimes us guys can sort of put that upon our conversation with the Lord. Not that we don't want to talk to Him, but for whatever reason, there's some part of our identity that either doesn't make us feel capable because maybe we don't do it right, or worthy, or whatever the case is. There's some identity issue within our hearts that keep us from just sitting down and having that chat, or driving down the road, or wherever, or with whomever, that communication with the Father. I want you to know, He deeply loves you. He deeply cares. Did anybody have their kids around the Thanksgiving table? You know how much you love them? So what's going on in your life? Tell me about what's going on at work. Hey, Grant, you know, whatever. Why do you do that? Because of your desire for deep connection. Do you think the Father is any less? No. Lay all the religiosity aside. Lay down all the thoughts from the past or the difficulties that seem in the present. And let's ask God, God, bring us into deep communication, into intimate connection. Isn't that what your heart longs for? I know mine does. What was that second song that we sang this morning? We love you.
Yeah, we'll never stop. That one.
We love you. We'll never stop. We can't get enough of you.
Come on.
I mean, my heart, I just, not physically, but I just felt that deep, deep passion in my heart when we just sing a song like that. That's prayer. That's the foundation for prayer. That's the gateway and the entry for prayer. That's why I love to start my conversations with God with a song like that on my AirPods or whatever. Not all the time. Sometimes it's just very still quiet. That's prayer. God has a foundation and a deep well of prayer for this church. A deep, deep well. We have a well now. We have some awesome intercessors. No taking away from that. But I see a drill. I see a drill in the Spirit going deeper. And when I keep asking them about it, this is the starting point. So this is what I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. Is that all right? This is the starting point. Now, just a few verses from the passage we've already been reading. I've been reading in another translation. This time, just three verses from the Passion Translation. Okay? This is it. John 15:5. I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. Where does fruitfulness come? From within you, right? From within God? No, from within you. It's Christ in you, yes, but fruitfulness streams from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. Jump down to verse 7. But if you live in life union, everybody say life union. I like their translation of abide or remain. That's the translation in the Passion, is life union. If you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can what? You can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. You remember when Nicodemus in John 3 came to Jesus late at night? He was part of the Sanhedrin, so he kind of had to come undercover. He didn't want it to be necessarily found out at the time. And he come and he asked Jesus a question. Does anybody remember what it is or what it was? Yeah, it was about being born again. The question was like, okay, first of all, tell me about this. Jesus begins to explain. And then he says, but how can I go back into my mother's womb again as an old man and be born again? And Jesus is like, how can I tell you deep things of the Spirit if you can't even understand these basic truths? I'm talking about being born of water and the Spirit, not physically being reborn. What is Jesus trying to convey? Spiritual realities. And this is part of the deep dredger. Is that the word? What's that thing called, Chuck, where you dig the well? Is it auger? I don't know. Maybe there's not a word for it. A well drill. It's the deep well drill. It's spiritual. It's something more spiritual than what we corporately maybe are experiencing in our prayer lives. Okay, it's something very spiritual. And I wouldn't be surprised if he begins to show you deep things in the spirit that make no sense to your natural mind. Right?
Yes.
Remember, master, servant. Master, servant. As the Lord begins to, as you're just being with him, deep conversation, you may just have some thoughts or pictures or perceptions. It may just be a hunch, a spiritual hunch. And it's like, I don't know what that, that's all right. Don't try to figure it out. Usually, in my experience, this catches up. The brain, the mind. But nor don't let it talk you out of what you perceive spiritually in this well of prayer. Because just like Nicodemus, Jesus is with us, right? And he's telling us things. And our natural mind goes like Nicodemus, that doesn't make sense. How can I be an old man and get back in my mother's womb? This doesn't make sense. I think Nicodemus at that point was already convinced that he was Messiah, but this doesn't make sense what he's telling me, you know? And then remember Jesus is with a bunch of his followers in John 6, and he's just like, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. Drop the mic and walks away, you know? He didn't have a mic, but... And everybody's just like, what did he say? What kind of vampire cult? This is just ridiculous. This guy is off the rocker. And you remember after the story, this is John 6. You can look it up later. I love this. I'm fascinated by these types of conversations. The disciples gather and Jesus says, are you guys offended too? Because I think one of them says, this is kind of a hard saying. This wasn't a feel-good sermon, you know. Are you guys going to leave? And they're like, well, where would we go? We know that you have the words of life. See, that's you guys. You're already sitting here. You're already sitting here convinced. You're convinced in your hearts Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is where it's at. Yet, there's some challenging things that he might reveal to us. Don't be in a hurry to figure them out. Just let them sit. Just trust. Just let them marinate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I love my prayer life now because I feel like every time I'm just with him, I just know that I'm a son. And therefore, there's no conversation really that's off limits. I can process my frustrations. I can process my fears. It's not wrong to be afraid. It's not a sin to be angry or even anxious. It's not a sin. I can bring that to him. David, in his prayer life, you'll notice in the Psalms, he even got quite confrontational with God at times. Like, God, where are you? Do you not see that I'm surrounded, about to be killed? You know, he's just processing. He's just going through. And I think that's why I love my prayer life now, is because by grace, God peeled off some of the religious jargon.
Come on.
Of like, I need to be in this setting and, you know, in this posture, and I need to do it like someone else. I guess that's the thing. Obviously, we follow mentors and we're discipled by people, and that's good. And spiritual fathers and mothers, and maybe you had somebody come along and pray with me. And that's helpful, right? We all need that to get started. But if we continued in that in our human relationships, it would just be a little weird, you know? So God's going to bring you into a whole new season of your prayer life, of your life union, of your conversation. And just real quickly, because I told my daughter-in-law, Amy, on the way to church that I was going to be real brief this morning. 19 minutes in. I'm doing all right. I got 10. Just 5 quick secrets to effective prayer. And instead of going in one passage, I'm just going to do snapshots in the New Testament. Is that all right? The first one, let's start in James 5. James 5:16, and I think this goes to Grace's dream and word this morning also. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now, anxiety is not a sin. Okay, so I'm not substituting this, but when she said that, I thought of James 5:16 and confess your anxiety to one another. Does anybody have anxiety in here this morning? I'm not going to give you the mic and ask you to talk about it or anything like that. But whatever the case is, I found it helpful to process those emotions or those things with another person. For the, in this case, it would be my wife, but if you're not married, you're single, someone that you trust, a best friend, process that in addition to with the Lord. Because this is what Jacob James is trying to tell us is, yeah, in prayer, it's powerful. In other words, Lord, I'm feeling really a lot of anxiety right now. That's good. But for whatever reason, he also put us in the family, in the body of the church, in order that we can process that with one another. I'm just using a little license. I wouldn't use the word confess as much. That does have to do with confession of sins. It's totally applicable. But I'm saying process your anxiety. Process your fear. Why? I feel like there's a connection here between that and the second sentence here that the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Because every time that we go into conversation with God, prayer, every time we go in with prayer, unprocessed emotions stand in the way. How do I know? I know that from experience. Gosh, Lord, she makes me so angry. Now, I'm going to pick on my wife in that aspect of things. Oh, I just read in Peter, basically, Peter said, anger against your wife can hinder your prayers. Yeah, I know, Lord, but dadgummit, she's so wrong. You know, whatever the case is, what do I need to do in order to have a power and effective prayer life? I need to get that obstacle out of the way, right? The same thing with anxiety or fear or whatever. And I think this is the power of the church and your church family and your best friends, the body of Christ, is that another human being can enable us to bounce things off of them. They can handle it like, you know, be angry and sin not, or be afraid and sin not, or be anxious and sin not, or whatever the emotion is. Get that out of the way, and then you're going to be able to walk into a more effective communication. Why? Because out of that place, you're going to be able to hear. And in order to have effective communications with the Father, I need to be able to hear the words that He's speaking.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And that's so powerful. Like the word that Michael brought is so powerful because he's able to hear something and then communicate that. And that is always the baseline of prayer. Anytime my ears are stopped up, it's not like I'm going to stop talking, but I'm also asking God, like, okay, God, what is standing in the way? What do I need to process here? It's akin to Philippians 4:6. I think probably everybody knows this one, but this is number two. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't you love that one? Gosh, I get so anxious about money. People get so anxious about the holidays. People get so anxious about their children, their grandkids. You get so anxious about politics and the world. You get so anxious about, I mean, gosh, if we're living and breathing, there's plenty to get anxious about. And I'm not just talking about anxiety attacks. I'm just talking about a general anxiousness. Does anybody have that wake them up in the morning? Okay, good. Me and Michael do, and Justin. Okay, there's a few other people. What is that? Why, Lord? Why? It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, With what? Thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Mm-hmm. See, it's not just prayer has power over anxiety. Obviously, we know that theologically and by some experience. Yet there's still this scheme of the enemy that's trying to come with those anxious thoughts. What if the business doesn't go well, Gabe? What are you going to do then? You know, or what if, does anybody know the what ifs? What if that person doesn't do that? What about that? What if this doesn't happen right? What if, stop it! Quit! Don't you see I'm on Thanksgiving break? I'm trying to sleep in. This is our life. But by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God with thanksgiving and with another trusted person. Because, again, I feel like the more you try to become effective in your prayer life, the less effective it becomes. The more you try, the more you try. Well, I'm just going to pray today. The more you try, the more you just press in. The secret to the Christian life is to lean back. Is to snuggle, don't struggle. Nestle, don't wrestle. Wherever that came from. The more you stop trying, not that you're not focused in communication with Him. I don't mean by trying, I don't mean that. But the more you stop striving to pray, it's almost like the upside down, wrong side out kingdom thing. If you want to live, you die, right? If you want more, you give away what you have. It's this thing that's nonsensical here. Like Nicodemus that I was talking about earlier. It's nonsensical. You just sit back and you stay affirmed in His Father's love for you as a son or daughter. And this is, again, another reason why I love prayer. Because when I feel like I have that, then I want to pray. Before, I didn't really want to pray. I'm just being honest again. I just didn't really want to. I mean, there were times where maybe like there's a cool prayer meeting going on that maybe I wanted to go to that. But there wasn't, just because I felt so, I don't know, religion is form and function without relationship. It's rules without relationship. It's form without power. And all of us can be religious. All of us. There's not that spiritual stronghold comes from for every Christian. Why? Because it saps your power. If He can't keep you out of heaven, He can keep you from being powerful and a threat to the kingdom of darkness. So therefore, He seeks to make you religious. Just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were godly people. They were holy people. They were following the right thing. Did you hear me? The right thing. It was right. It was not wrong. They were doing the right thing. But that spirit of religion kept them out of seeing and hearing the very Son of God standing in front of them. Yeah. Don't let that ruin your prayer life. Don't let it sap you. Don't let it drain you. Are you guys all right? Yeah. Lean back. Lean in. Stop striving. The third one is from that John 15:7. In another translation, it uses the word, if you abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So that's the third thing, is abiding is the secret to great, not just a great prayer life, but great authority. Because it's always this disconnect. Okay, Jesus, you said that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thrown into the sea. You know, you can just, this great authority in prayer. That doesn't seem to be a reflection of my prayer life. I don't know about yours. Like, where is the lack of authority in prayer? And I'm just a baby in this. I feel like the secret, or at least one of the big ones, is in this abiding. It's learning how to abide in Him. In other words, be instead of do. Seek and you will find. Receive love and you love back. It's all that process that's going to dig this deep well in our church. Not trying harder. It's not necessarily even doing more. It is doing from a place of abiding. All right. It's gotten really quiet in here. Number four, Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be. Believe that you have received it and it will be. Have you ever had a parent or a mentor that you really trusted? Like, maybe it was a mom or a dad or an uncle or an aunt or a grandmother. You just knew whatever they told you, you could trust it. This was real. So therefore, if they were to say, the sky is purple, and you're like 2 years old, the sky is purple. No matter what guy, like you, they could tell you anything. Not that they would, because they were a very honest person. But they could tell you anything, and you would believe it because you trust them. You just know. See, that's what abiding in Christ does for us, is we know that we know that we know that we are His, that no matter what we are loved, that in all of our conversation, there is life union and deep communication. And therefore, that equals, in this math equation, faith. Faith is trust. Faith is knowing that even if I don't see it now or yet, I know what my Father has said. So to backtrack a little bit, when I was talking about you might be talking to the Lord about something and He shows you stuff that your natural mind doesn't understand, faith is knowing that it's still real. There's still something there that God is showing me. Like Nicodemus, I may not understand how I can go back and be born again out of my mother's womb, but spiritually, I know God is showing me something. You see, faith, number four, it's the prayer of faith moves mountains. It's not my prayer. It's a Galatians 2:20 prayer. My life is dead, hidden in Christ. It's not the faith of Matthew. It's the faith of Christ in Matthew that moves mountains. So guess what? The pressure's off. Have you ever tried to work up faith? How'd that work for you? I'm just going to have faith. I'm just going to have faith. I'm just going to have faith. The faith, faith, faith. You know, like confession. You just like, and it's just... And is this not true? It's like the harder you try, the worse it gets. It's just like, why is this not working? Abide. Learn how to abide in Him. And then faith becomes trust. Trust becomes faith. It's a byproduct of abiding. You see how important this is for prayer? This is really everything in prayer. Because we can say a lot of words. You know, I mean, I love to pray in tongues. I mean, we can get all fired up. I love to pace the room. You know, some people like to sit quietly and pray real soft. I like to do laps, you know, and all of that. But none of that is really the secret of effectiveness, either the stillness or the loudness. We can jump up and down and spin on our heads. That's not it. That's not what's going to bring the effectiveness in prayer. Now, I've done that, and I see that being effective when the Holy Spirit is doing something. I don't know if I'm communicating this well, but it's James 5:15 says, the prayer of faith will sozo the one who is sick. Wow. It'll save, heal, and deliver someone sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. This is from abiding. This is from abiding prayer in communication with God. What did Jesus do when his disciples couldn't get that demon-possessed boy free? You remember the dad who was really frustrated? I can't remember what chapter that's in. He's really frustrated because this boy's like foaming at the mouth, epileptic or something, I don't remember. And he brings them to the disciples. Jesus is away at cookout, and No, I don't know where he's at. But Jesus is ministering to somebody else probably. And I mentioned food again. I promise I wouldn't do that. But and they can't get him free. And then Jesus comes back and they're like asking him about it. And Jesus says, this type can only come out by prayer and fasting. That was a little confusing to me on the surface because I'm like, well, obviously they prayed for him. What do you mean? Now I feel like this is what I was missing. It's abiding prayer. This comes out by abiding prayer. And then by fasting is like, fasting is a tool. It's a get to, not a have to. Whenever you deny your natural senses of something or your natural desires of something, you're a spiritual or automatically heightened or alerted. So like if you fast from food, for example, then there's a greater opportunity, let's just put it that way, to receive the manna from heaven, right? Man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word. It attunes you more. So it's a tool. And so what Jesus is trying to say to them is, listen, guys, what you needed to do here is listen. You needed to abide. And then through fasting, you can hear a little bit more clear. Your HD, you know, TV screen is a little more clear. You can see on what is needed for effectiveness in getting the demon out of the boy. It may not be a demon out of a boy, but it might be the business idea that you need or a parenting tip or, you know, whatever it is in your life. It's like God wants to speak to us on this. But he can only speak to us when our heart is abiding in a place to be able to receive. Yeah. And so for the big stuff that we need, we don't just go to him when we need the big stuff. We go to him daily in intimate, deep life union, like the Passion says, in developing that rhythm of life union with him. All right. How are we? The final one. Is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is not weird. It's not, you know, your head spins around and you lose control of your body. I've heard it all, man. And as a pastor, you always get these. Like, this is the big one. Like, what's your church like, Pastor? Well, you know, it's like free. We just love all these. Oh, you pray in tongues? Like, well, yeah, but like, we do other stuff too. You know, it's not like the only thing we do. But the gift of tongues is in the Bible, right? It's legitimate. I'm not going to do a whole sermon on that. But praying in tongues is a secret ingredient to life union intimacy. Because, just real quickly, Romans 8:26, Paul wrote to that church, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." I personally believe there's a lot of biblical evidence to indicate that Paul's referring in that groanings, I can't go into all this today, but to that gift of praying in tongues. Okay? Has anybody ever been talking to God and you're just out of words? You're just out of words, like, I just don't know what else I'm supposed to pray. Well, the Holy Spirit knows what to pray because he knows the mind of God, right? He is God. And so he lives inside of us, and we can begin to activate that through just a conscious awareness. And I think even by an act of our will, we can just begin to activate that gift of tongues in our lives. And to add to that, Ephesians 6:18, which is more on this to another church in Asia Minor, says praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. So I just throw this on as a tidbit because I do feel like in my own life it's become a secret sauce. You know, it's become an ingredient for effective, powerful prayer because it's connecting not the mind of my brain, but the mind of my heart with the mind of Christ. Let me just phrase it that way. And so in that place, it just leads me somewhere. That's the only way I know to say it. Are you guys all right
yeah.
with that? And, you know, if I also, my theology on this is the Bible says that if you want a good gift from the Father, just ask Him. And He's not stingy or greedy or withholding. But if you want that gift of tongues, just ask Him. And we could even pray that for you this morning, pray along with you. Is that He'll give you that thing, that prayer language from heaven that enables you in effectiveness and communion. Again, this isn't the gift of tongues has been made very religious. Okay? There's very religious people, including myself at times, who have just made this religious thing. All right? As a sign of you know, your spirituality or something like that. And that, I just think that is not the heart of the Father. That's not Him. His heart is always to just lead us deeper communion with Him, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Finally, and I'm at 40 minutes. Jeremiah 33:3. Does anybody know that one? This showed up to me recently in an old journal entry, and it just reminded me that there's a lot of things that I don't know spiritually. Well, what do you mean, Matthew? You're like, you thought you were a spiritual know-it-all, and Jeremiah 33:3 lets you know that you're not. No, I don't mean that. I just mean sometimes in the pace of my life and in my daily spiritual walk, I need to be reminded. And in October of 2016, the prophet Bob Jones' widow came and ministered in this church. Her name's Bonnie Jones. And she texted me on her way home this scripture and had this message for me. I'm not going to share the message with you, but it was this scripture. And we kept seeing these 33 threes everywhere, triple threes, you know. And it's like, what is God trying to communicate something with us? And here's what it says. Call to me and I will answer you. Who's happy about that? God actually hears you when you call.
Come on.
When you pick it up, when you pick up your phone spiritually, God is on the other end. He hears what you're saying and He cares. If my 11-year-old daughter Lydia called me from somewhere and I got the call and I picked it up, I'm not going to be aloof from her. I'm not going to be like, what do you want? I'm not going to be, I know, like, hey, what's up? What's going on? Yeah, okay, you want to buy me a gift at the mall? Sure. Well, yeah, this is my size, you know. Whatever it is, I'm going to take the call and I want to be interested. I'm going to be interested in what she's saying. Call to me, God says, and I will answer you. And not only that, but I'm going to tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Back to Nicodemus, and I'll finish with this. Was it that those spiritual realities he came to ask Jesus about at night that they didn't exist? Why does this guy who has the whole Torah memorized, why does he need to ask Jesus such simple questions? Jeremiah 33:3. Because these are great and hidden things that he and his company, his sphere he's around, they didn't know. Many of his friends didn't know that this Jesus from Nazareth was he that Moses and beyond had prophesied about. But Nicodemus did. So I'm always thinking, well, I'm not going to be so presumptuous to think that I'm more spiritual than them. What are the things that I don't know? What am I missing? What is God right in front of me trying to communicate that He wants to do or He wants to reveal that I'm not seeing? My pastor always said, here's the dilemma. We don't know what we don't know. But through life union with Christ, in abiding, we can know. Because He said to His disciples and then to all of us, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, the great secrets. So all you treasure hunters out there, let me hook you with that. If you want to know, what are the great secrets? What in this scripture? I mean, think about it. For 1,000 years in the Middle Ages, they paid to get their sins forgiven, right? Through indulgences. It was from, You know, I would say even earlier than the 500 AD, like 300, the early church went through a few, I think, good generations. And then the devil quickly twisted things so badly that, think about it, you go to the priest and pay money to get your sins forgiven, and then you're probably going to hell. Like, nonetheless, I mean, there was no salvation by grace through faith until this humble little monk, by the grace of God, named Martin Luther, his eyes open. He's reading the scripture in Romans 5, the just shall live by faith. Like, oh, I got to dig deeper into this. What is it? So now today we sit 500 years after the Protestant Reformation of 1517. We sit here, and if somebody were to walk through that door or walk up to you here this morning after church and say, hey, Joe, I really would like to be born again. Can you show me how I can be saved? Would you have a great deal of confidence that you could lead them down that path? Absolutely. And anybody sitting in this room probably could, would. Like, that's Jesus and Nicodemus level. Like, oh, be born again. So I'm thinking, here's just part of my thought processes is, okay, well, if spiritual people during the Middle Ages had missed all of that, what am I missing right now? Like, where is the powerful prayer of effectiveness from every stage 4 cancer case? That just like a person walk up and say, how can I be saved? What if a dozen stage 4 cancer people walked in here right now, walked up to us and said, hey, do you know how I can get rid of this cancer and not die? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's easy. That might be crazy. You know? But Elon Musk is called crazy, too. Everybody's driving a Tesla. Apparently, he thinks that we can colonize the moon and Mars. Crazy talk. But, you know, we're going to have flying cars in around our town here pretty soon. I'm using that as an analogy for what I'm saying spiritually is, what does God want to unlock? I don't know exactly. I don't have no idea, actually, but it's going to come from a deep well. And that deep well is going to be a deep well of prayer. Not religious prayer, but intimate life union and communication. Oh, I like this. Do you like this stuff, Jeremy?
Yeah.
I can talk about technology and innovation and even the spirit world, what God wants to do, for another hour. But I'm not. You guys stand up with me.
So I just feel like the Lord, one of the things with the anxieties and stuff, that we would just give the Lord our, you know, because in this abiding is allowing the Lord to renew our minds.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying. We want a new way of thinking, and that the Lord
yeah.
wants to break off some things in our religious thoughts, some things in our ways of thinking that have hindered us from seeing the way He sees. And one of the things I felt like the Lord was saying to me this morning was, give me all your maybe not cynicism, but your ways of looking at things that have been from disappointments from the way you've seen things before.
Yeah.
And you've just come to the place where you thought, well, I'm just waiting for the... Has anybody ever felt that feeling where it's like things are going good, and so you're just waiting for the... what they would say, waiting for the other shoe to fall.
Yeah.
And I've been, the Lord really, even this weekend, was saying, that's not me.
Yeah.
That is not me. I really am. God is good. He's better than we think.
Come on.
He's
yeah.
better.
Yeah, he
than
is
we
better.
Think.
Yeah, that's
He's
true.
He's so much better.
Yeah.
And I was even having a conversation with my kids on the way to church this morning where I was just saying, you know, sometimes you can be in situations in your life where you're like, this is good. Maybe too good. And I was saying, no, that's not the way God wants us to see things. He doesn't want us to wait for something, or when He shows us something in the secret place that seems bigger than us, that we wouldn't shut it down because that seems too good.
Come on.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the Lord wants to give good gifts.
Yeah.
God gives good gifts.
Yeah.
He's a good Father.
Yeah.
But what we have to be willing is to lay down all our disappointments and maybe the way we've seen it and the way our minds have been processing things, and allow Him to renew our minds, renew our hearts, and that we would call on him, that he would show us great and mighty things which we do not know. And that we could trust him in the following. That we could trust him not for the other shoe to fall. Right. Not for just looking for the bad things that are going to happen. But that we would be, that the Lord would renew our minds and we would look for the great and mighty things which we do not know. The mysteries of the kingdom to be discovered. So I don't know about you, but y'all want that?
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray for all of us. Because I'm one that I'm like, Lord, I want you to break off some religious thinking. I want you to wash over my mind of the disappointments of the things I've maybe seen it happen in the past. So I'm just going to put that on what you're going to do. When God wants to show us things which we don't know. So Lord, we ask you to come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we want to abide in you. We want to abide in your presence. Lord, we want to come and sit at your feet, Lord, and allow you to wash over our hearts, wash over our minds, heal our hearts, heal our minds. Lord, we call on you, Jesus. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, Lord, that as you take us deeper, as you dig that well in us, Lord, that you, that our roots would go deep and our branches would spread wide. Lord, that you would take our hope and you would lift up our eyes up to the hills from where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Lord, you are so much greater. You are so much bigger than we could even imagine. Lord, that you are a good giver. Lord, you give us good gifts from heaven. So, Lord, we open up our hearts. We open up our hands. We open up ourselves to you, Lord. And we're saying, come show us great and mighty things which we do not know. Lord, we want to explore with you. We want to be explorers of the kingdom. We want to be explorers of your heart. Lord, we want to be explorers of your heavenly places. Lord, that we could call things that are not as though they were. Lord Jesus, that we can walk in your kingdom. We can walk in your ways. Lord Jesus, that we could see things, miracles, signs and wonders in this day and age, Lord.
Yes, God.
So we're asking you, come renew our hearts, renew our minds, Lord Jesus, and get our hopes up, Lord. Get our hopes up, Lord. We're saying we're getting our hopes up in you, too. We're getting our hopes up in you, Lord, because you are a faithful Father. You are a trustworthy Father, Lord Jesus. And we want to see things from your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just finish with "We love you" again.
All this is for you.
this morning. Just say, God, I just need something broken off. I just got to get rid of this. I just need to lay this down. Just come on up here. Just come on up here. We want to pray for you. Mark and I will be up here. Tracy and Ken, David and Kathy, can you guys come up and pray for people? Just want to bless you and just stand with you and just let God release whatever He has for you into your life today. If you would like to ask Him for the gift of tongues today, just come on up here to get Michael to pray for you or any of these, and we'll be here. So be blessed. Love y'all.